Ah yes, Whitby in the peak summer season. Each year tourists flock to the idyllic seaside resort, arguably not for the weather, but for the picture postcard scenery and a small taste of a quintessentially British seaside holiday. In the heady summer months of June, July and August, you'll find the old town is bustling, the amusement arcades are brimming and the fish and chip sales, well, they're booming. There's quite a contrast then, stood here on a cold winter's day on Whitby's West Pier, with the West Cliffs to the right of me and the ancient abbey on the cliffs high above to my left. It's easy to see why this picturesque seaside resort has become one of the nation's favourite tourist retreats. But why and when did Whitby become so popular?
I think in the early 19th century, perhaps before the railways, it began to be people coming for their extended breaks. But the railways were definitely an impetus for people to come and stay and to explore the town and its district. And Whitby has a magic. I don't know quite how else to describe it, but it just has something.
That's Mark Edwards, honorary keeper of Whitby Museum, which has been in existence for 190 years and is one of the town's most popular all-year-round attractions.
You can get visitors in Whitby every day of the year. But Whitby has tried to improve itself, improved its shops, improved its amenities. People appreciate it, but they also appreciate Whitby, as a picturesque place to come to. And Whitby constantly evolves.
20 years ago, Whitby was already relatively well known as a holiday hotspot, attracting the majority of its visitors from Yorkshire and the northeast of England. But in 1997, the return of a ship that carried Whitby's most famous son around the world changed everything.
Hello, I'm Sophie Forgan and I'm chairman of trustees of the Captain Cook Memorial Museum in Whitby. I think it really exploded in 1997 with the visit of the replica Bark Endeavour, which was a tourist phenomenon of enormous size. And I've never seen so many people.
With the spotlight shining on Whitby, the town arguably had to up its game to cater for the modern tourist of the 21st century.
I think we're much more used to welcoming people from far afield and to providing a greater range of attractions and things for people to do, as well as sitting on our magnificent beaches. And now we are very used to welcoming people who have perhaps very high standards and high expectations, as well as people from all parts of the world. There have been over 80 countries, for instance, noted in our visitors book in the last few years.
And Whitby appears to be very resilient to the current economic downturn. The Captain Cook Museum saw 23,000 visitors come and learn more about the Intrepid Explorer last year, which was a record high.
A lot of people are taking perhaps their holidays at home or their second holidays at home, but their expectations are nonetheless high. We're meeting those expectations, and I think we can continue to ride out the depression, if you like.
The quayside here in Whitby used to be a busy, bustling throng of activity, with fishermen bringing ashore their daily catches. However, in recent decades, the fishing industry has got smaller and smaller, and there are only a few trawlers left here that regularly put to sea. Fish, though, still plays a mighty important part, though, in the town's daily life, namely being Whitby's world-famous fish and chips. And Stuart Fusco, the manager of the Quayside Restaurant, which has been shortlisted for the last 2 years for the best independent fish and chip shop in the UK, has agreed to show me how to make the perfect portion.
First job is to make some batter. So get some ice cold water and put some flour into it. Secret ingredient.
Which you're not going to tell us about.
No, that's secret. Gives it its air, though.
Now, this is the all-important ingredient. You're dipping that in the batter. Just tell us a little bit about the fish, though.
We use Icelandic fish. She's from a sustainable source. We're just going to dip the fish in the batter, let the excess run off a sec, and then we're going to just lay it into the fat.
So how long should that now take to fry?
It doesn't take long, it only takes about 4 minutes.
Whilst the fish is frying, let's turn our attention, if we can, to the other side of the main dish, which are the chips themselves.
Yeah, the chips are also cooked in beef dripping. We always use British potatoes. We always look for a nice tasting one, because obviously that's, you know, it's part of the meal, really. You can't just use any potato.
So coming back to the fish, it's been in the fryer for about 3 or 4 minutes now. So is it nearly done?
It's not too far off. It's just starting to colour up a bit, and the fish inside is probably nearly ready. It's the batter on the outside which is cooking now. Right, this is about ready to come out. A nice golden colour there.
We'll do the all-important taste test. You've not done badly, Stuart. Away from the plethora of fish restaurants on the other side of town is the enclave of Georgian and Victorian buildings that houses Whitby's old town. The cobbled streets are lined with a multitude of independent booksellers and specialist sweet shops and bespoke jewellers. Amy Noble is from W. Hammond Jewellers, and she told me more about the precious local material that has made Whitby famous around the world and sees jewellery lovers flock to the old town every year.
Whitby jet is a fossilised wood. It comes from the Araucaria tree, and basically hundreds of millions of years ago there was a big forest of this particular tree in our area. It's very light, it's warm to the touch. If you were to mark it on a piece of sandpaper, it would actually mark brown.
And Amy also told me about the difference in shopping patterns for tourists between the winter and summer months.
I think the town's pretty set in its ways, to be honest. I mean, you know, as long as Whitby Jet is readily available, there will always be jet shops in Whitby. It does sort of quieten off after sort of October until sort of April time. We still get plenty of bus trips, and during the winter you get the people and they're looking for sort of something very, they know what they want basically, they're looking for something very in particular.
In the summer perhaps people are just browsing?
Yeah, I mean you certainly get lots of families and people come in for the day, sort of to go on the beach and for fish and chips and an ice cream, and you do tend to get a lot of people just browsing around the shops.
Now, Whitby in the winter months may be an idyllic tourist destination and a lovely place to rent or buy a holiday home. However, for the younger generations of Whitby residents, there are growing problems. The average price of a house here is £210,000, and there are increasingly fewer full-time and highly paid long-term jobs for young people to take up. Keith Pruthuck is the head teacher at Whitby College.
Locally at the moment it's tough, we know that. Opportunities are declining. There is some poverty around Whitby. It's probably associated with employment, but lower paid employment and seasonal employment.
Is there a very, very stark choice facing young people in Whitby? Is it a choice of either you stay in Whitby and you have a relatively low paid job, or you leave Whitby and try and further yourself in that respect?
For some people, it would be that stark. And clearly, if you're chasing a high aspiration and a high-quality university, you do need to move away from Whitby. What we typically find is very few of those come back simply because they've had their appetites wet, and they then do have their eyes lifted above the horizon and they can see a world of opportunity.
And the sixth form students at the college during a roundtable discussion told me that they just can't see a future for themselves in the town given the lack of good and long-term jobs.
The dispensary isn't a lot of things to do. Everything's tailored for, like, tourism. It's good if you want a part-time job there.
But then there's no chance of a promotion, there's no chance of going anywhere with that. If you want to make anything of yourself, or anything, you sort of need to leave, really.
Like, yeah, if you want a good job, even if it's in Whitby, you still have to get out and then come back.
According to figures from the Office of National Statistics, 22% of all the jobs in Whitby are connected with the town's tourist industry. However, these are not new problems or the failings of a particular government or local authority. They are generational problems. Alison Dimbleby is the head of the sixth form at Whitby College And she told me she fears for the town's future.
Looking at the jobs that these young people around this table are going to go into, they're not going to be able to come back because those jobs don't exist in this area. Really, they're going to have to leave and stay away if they're going to be employed because we just don't have that employment level here. But I think what will happen is there will be an ageing population and then you'll have an influx of visitors between the summer months and maybe over the Christmas period, and that will be the population of this area in the future.
As we've discovered, Whitby is and has been for some while a year-round tourist resort, and the tourism industry looks set to continue and prosper. But there are unanswered questions about the town's future. How does it retain its younger residents, which will form the foundation of Whitby's future economy, if they can see no future for themselves here? The tourists will keep on coming, but will the next generation of Whitby residents be here to welcome them?